ladies and gentlemen of Prescott, it's time for a change. We, the people of this vibrant community, demand honest, upfront communication. And now your hosts, Tony Hamer and Chad DeVries.
Well, welcome to the show. We're very lucky to have with us today Chief Amy Bonney. She heads up the police department here in Prescott. We're really going to be very interested to see what Amy has to say about the department and her comments in terms of surveys which have been run, especially the public survey which was just done by the city. Well, good morning, Prescott. Here we are with Chief Amy Bonney of the police department here.
Good morning.
Really good to see you,
Amy. It's good to see you guys, too.
Why is she really here, Hamer?
Well, she's here to arrest you, I would imagine.
I think you have some parking tickets or something.
No, I don't do those. I gave those up.
You're one of the people that parks down here on Gurley Street and sticks out.
Yeah.
Is that you?
Do I really?
I don't know.
I have this very nice Jensen car from 1972. But it's a small car. I can fit
in. You can fit in, okay.
These guys with the 350s and stuff, those are the ones,
I have to tell you, we're sitting here, and we look out the window every day, and it doesn't take more than 5 minutes. If there's a truck sticking out over there, it's done. It's gone. I mean, you guys have that down to a science.
Yeah, it's one of the things we hear about quite frequently, and it's like, we know, we drive it too. So, but we appreciate when people call us, and yeah, we try to address it quickly, because it is dangerous.
Yeah,
it is.
Swerve around them and stuff. So
That parking arrangement is probably not optimum, but nobody's going to do anything about
That's
it.
That's right.
I don't know, it's been that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, it has. How long have you lived here, Amy?
Well, that's a trick question, because I was born and raised here, and so if I tell you how many years
you're a boomerang girl,
then
aren't
I reveal my age.
Ah, and well, you know, we don't want to do that.
I'll
we
tell
don't
you,
want to
it's,
intrude in
it's
any way.
More than 45, but slightly less than 50 years.
There you go.
Got
it down.
You can do a little bit about it. Yeah.
That's great. And then you went up to Northern Arizona or something and spent some time up there. Is that right?
I did, yeah. I went to NAU because I wanted to get away from Prescott, right? So I was like 2 hours away. That's me venturing far as an only child. And I actually started out as a music major.
Oh, you were an only child, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I still am.
Still am. That's good to know.
No further production behind you.
No. So, yeah, I actually started out as a music major at NAU.
Did you?
Which is a fun fact, yeah. I wanted to conduct a symphony, which actually I was able to do that. That's a story for later. Yes.
Really?
But that lasted about 6 weeks, and I realized that there's a lot of math and music theory. So I like to play my instruments. I don't like to, like, you know, subdivide a measure and all of that stuff. So
which instruments do you play?
Well, okay, so I play the piano a little bit, but mostly I play the flute. And then here's another. I like to play the English handbells at my church.
Do you?
Yeah.
Wow, that's
lovely,
impressive.
Especially at Christmas.
They
just fit in beautifully, don't they?
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
And I'm learning to play the bagpipes. So.
Oh, no, the squealy music is
one
out.
One of my friends is a world-renowned bagpipe player, and she's played with Madonna. And,
really?
Oh, she's amazing. She has a home here in Prescott. I'll have to introduce you. She's amazing, and they play here sometimes.
It's really, really, really hard.
Yeah, I don't know how you can play that instrument.
Yeah, it's interesting. I bought a chanter, so just the part like you play with your hands. And over during COVID, because I was bored, and my neighbors weren't thrilled, my dogs weren't thrilled, and so I haven't messed with it for a little while. But I need to pick it back up because it was fun.
So how do you go from music to law enforcement?
Well, when I was a high school student here in Prescott, I was part of the Explorer group here at the Prescott Police Department. And I love to tell this story because it was such an integral part of me growing up that there was a group of us, and almost all of us that were in the group at the time ended up becoming police officers, some here in Prescott, some around the country, because the mentors that we had in that program were so incredibly supportive and awesome. And if you think about it, these were, you know, 25, 30, 35-year-old police officers at the Prescott Police Department.
Right.
And here we were, 15, 16, 17-year-old kids hanging around them. And they were incredibly supportive. They encouraged us. They didn't treat us like we were just kind of hanging around and taking up their time. And they were amazing, amazing mentors.
Right.
And so when I knew it wasn't going to be doing music, I started looking, took some criminal justice classes, and I thought it was really fun.
Why did you know you weren't going to be doing music?
Because there's too much math. Enjoying it. Yeah, I enjoyed I took a performing class. I was part of the marching band up there, but a concert group up there. Like I said, very, very short period of time.
Right.
When I looked at what being a music major would mean, and there was so much music theory, and it really is difficult. And I'm wired for a lot of things. Math isn't one, and it shouldn't bother you that I'm responsible for $20 million a year. Because I have much smarter people around me that are really good at that. But it just wasn't fun. I like to play.
Well, my brother is a professional musician. You don't even know this, I don't think. Yeah. He's a professional jazz pianist.
Oh, that's really
cool.
And
he's played for 60 years now, and he still plays.
Really?
So he got all the talent in the family then, huh?
He did, because I took piano lessons at the same time as him.
Oh, wow.
And I can play scales and arpeggios, and that's it.
Wow.
And he went on, he's all over and stuff.
Oh,
anyway,
that's awesome.
Amy, tell us a little bit about the police department. How long have you been chief?
So I'm going to say 3 years, but counted in that 3 years was a period of about 6 months when I was interim chief before I was formally appointed.
That. Yeah.
So it was 3 years ago actually this month when Chief Black announced her retirement, and I served as the interim until June of that year when I was selected and appointed as the chief full time.
That's great. Wow. How's it been? Have you enjoyed it?
Yes.
Do you get up every day and say, I'm going in to work and it's going to be the best day of my life?
Every day?
Yeah.
No.
Not every
Most
day.
Every day. Right? I mean, there's a lot that goes with this job, and every day I'm excited to do the job, but every day there's something that's challenging, and, you know, I the thing I love about it the most is the people that I work with and the people I serve, and
that is
what, you know, really motivates me on the days when I'm like, oh my gosh, how are we going to do this, or what's going to happen with this, or, you know, all the different things that kind of come with not only being a police chief, but being a police chief in 2024.
Right, right. And things have changed. So how long have you been in the police department now?
So about 25 and a half years.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And you started off on the street? Or
I did. I did. And it was funny. I was telling somebody
the other day. What's your funny story about that?
Yeah. So we had this lady, and her name was Donna, and she was the nicest, nicest woman. And she lived downtown. And Donna has since passed away, and she struggled a little bit with some, you know, issues. And she would call, and she'd ask us to take a report because, she, you know, somebody would come into her apartment and take everything and replace it with replicas. But she was so nice, and we all loved her very much. But the first time I went to her call, she called the police department to make a report. And I went to her apartment. I knocked on the door, and I was Officer White at the time. And she said, no, the Prescott Police Department doesn't have any female police officers. You can't be with the police department. And I'm
You're a replica, she said.
What am I going to do? And so I'm like, well, Donna, if you call the, you know, non-emergency number, they'll tell you. And so she did, and she said, do you have a business card? And I'm like, yeah. And she'll slip it under the door. And I did, and then Donna and I were fast friends from then on out. But yeah, it's 25 and a half years ago
I started. That's fantastic. So what's changed in those 25 years in terms of the police department?
A lot has changed just in the world of policing. You know, one of the things that I love the most about the Prescott Police Department is that there has been a lot of changes. There's been a lot of changes in technology, a lot of changes in the demand for our services and the things that our team is expected to do.
Right.
But our focus has always remained the same, and it's been consistent in our desire to serve the community and just provide the highest level of police protection and service in partnership with our community. And that's really important. We couldn't do what we do without our community.
Well, I think it's great too, because that you all work together, like Prescott Valley Police and the Sheriff Department, and if you need help, you guys help each other out, which is, you don't see that in the big cities. And, you know, like the fire department, if it's not in their district, they'll stop right there and watch the house burn, right?
Yeah,
so
it's
impressive.
This region is exceptional in terms of collaboration and partnership, and I will say friendships. You know, we work very, very closely with each other, and it's a great, great place to be.
Fantastic. So how many more years will you be with us? Because you're a very young lady. We've established that already. So how many more years are you going to be a chief?
Here's what I tell people. As long as I am being effective and serving the men and women of the Prescott Police Department and this community in the way that they deserve, and as long as it's fun, then, you know,
another 30 years. That would be great.
Maybe 29. I'll commit to 29. As long as God leaves me in the spot, I'll serve.
Well, she's definitely going to need another wall of for awards, it shows that you had the Medal of Valor, Sworn Officer of the Year, Supervisor of the Year, Police Chief of the Year this year. That's impressive.
Well, here's my motto, right? You surround yourself with capable and competent people, and then you get out of their way and let them do their jobs. And I have been
Chad, do you hear
exceedingly
that?
Do you want me to write it down?
I'm still learning.
I've just been exceedingly blessed by the people, my family, my friends, my colleagues, my peers, and, every opportunity that has come up has been a result not only of hard work, but just of amazing circumstances and people. And
now, you have a family as well as a job.
Yes, I do.
How does that all work together? Because I would imagine when you're getting into emergency times and special things happening, it must be quite difficult.
It is, but I'm surrounded by people who are just incredibly supportive. So my husband works full-time at my daughter's school. I have a 13-year-old little girl named Reagan, and she's busy, incredibly busy. And so, between...
She's at Prescott Elementary? No,
she
middle
school. She goes to Trinity Christian.
Trinity.
So, between all of us, my parents are still here and still doing real well, and so we get her where she needs to go, and it's just nuts. But yeah, it is. It's busy.
So when she arrives somewhere in a police car, it attracts some attention, doesn't it?
Well, she always asks me, Mom, will you drive me to school in your police car? I'm like, well, two things. One, I can't because city policy precludes that. I said, but two, my work car is very boring. Right? I don't have a marked police unit because I don't want to use that resource. So I just got a silver Ford Explorer. It's very benign.
Right. Yeah. Right. Oh, that's so disappointing for her.
Wait till she starts dating. I wouldn't want to be that boy.
No. She knows. I said, Reagan, you might not know everybody, but everybody knows you. So.
Yeah. Oh, that's tremendous. Great. We're going to get to some serious questions.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Sure.
These were serious, but this is more serious.
Right.
Maybe. Anyway, as you look at 2024, what are your top priorities with the force here in Prescott and the community overall?
So my number one priority is hiring and retention of police officers. Nationwide, we have seen things really shift on a national scale that has unfortunately come to impact us here in the Quad City areas. And so just hiring quality people and retaining them to serve this community. That's my number one priority, and supporting them the way that they deserve to be supported. Second priority is...
How many are you looking to hire?
Well, we're in a growth phase. So right now I have, I believe, 9 openings that I need to fill.
Wow.
Right.
So 8 of those, to be honest, 8 of those are new positions that I got during last fiscal year.
Right. Remember
that. So they're
that.
New. And yeah. So I'm still looking to hire those positions. Yeah. But really where I see us, my second priority is growing the police department. If you look at our city as a whole, the way that we have grown and the things that happen in our community are drastically different than, 25 years ago when I first started. And we really haven't put enough focus and attention on getting our services to where they need to be to support all of those efforts.
Growing
to where we need to be to support and maintain the safety in the city is my second priority. My third priority is ensuring that they have the equipment and the infrastructure to keep them safe. So by that, I mean ensuring that we have a great radio system, right? To make sure that they can talk on their radios from...
Do you want to buy ours? Well, you didn't make us an offer?
What I'm looking at is is Chad's like little... Is it like a
little beast, mixing board,
like
yeah.
A mixing
it's his Ouija
board.
Board.
Yeah, it looks like a beatbox or something, like you could blend tracks and stuff.
It's amazing what you can do with this thing, though.
It is, isn't it?
It's colorful.
He's got all sorts of noises he puts in. So you listen to the show, don't be surprised if some of those noises appear.
Well, we mention someone all the time, and we have a lot of crickets, so I'll just leave it at that. So I got a cricket button in here. I love my crickets.
Yeah, it looks fun.
So those are the three priorities.
Yeah, and of course
it's about hiring and retention, then growth, and then equipment that people have the best stuff.
And I will
say
we've kept up very well with our equipment. Our officers have every piece of equipment that they need. But what we're lacking is like our infrastructure behind the scenes. So with our radio towers, for example, like we've got to update those and upgrade those. And
because of lack of scope, distance.
Yeah, we've just grown, right? So everything to the north of us, the Yavapai Hills has grown, the ranch has grown, and
I'm surprised you've only got one police station. Why wouldn't you have one or be building one up north?
Well, I really appreciate that you said that, because We were meeting this morning. As you know, you probably have heard, and you said that you're going to have the fire chief come on here soon, too. So they're about a year and a half to 2 years ahead of us in terms of their capital plan. And if you've been paying attention, you know that they're talking about building more fire stations, which they need. And
desperately need. Yeah.
Yes. So we're tagging on to that, right? Because we are completely busting at the seams at our current facility. And we have a lot of needs in terms of space, for just operation, day-to-day operations,
right.
But also, you're right, expanding and moving some of our services north so that we can better serve that part of our community. So that's on our radar. We've got it included in our budget plans to include for fiscal year 25 that we have coming up, and just to further those discussions. But also in partnership with the fire department, we're going to be, when they build a station, we're going to have space in that station.
That's great.
So that's part of that collaboration that is so important.
That will be good. Yeah. That's efficient use of the taxpayers' dollars as well. Sounds
absolutely
really good.
Yeah.
Yep, good. Well, growing is obviously a part of Prescott.
Yes.
So what has grown in terms of the crime scene? What has changed from 30 years ago to what it is now? What are the major crimes that we might see?
So, I'm very happy to report Prescott is a safe community.
Yeah.
Right? We're very safe. And I don't know if you saw there was a poll that was put out, a survey. And the results of that survey,
community survey,
indicated exactly what I knew they would indicate, but, it's kind of validation. People feel safe in this community, which is a huge part of what we do. We want people to feel safe in this community. What we have seen grow exponentially in the past couple of years are two things. One is drug use.
Right.
We know this is not a secret. I'm not revealing anything. Yeah. Any of us can't,
identify
but the illegal drugs and extremely dangerous drugs are pouring into our country and into our state.
Is this primarily via the illegal immigrants coming through?
It's through our porous borders. I say my job is really apolitical, but the truth is not apolitical.
Right.
I mean, the fact that the drugs, billions and billions of pills are coming into our country every year, and that is impacting us here in the city. So that's a big thing. And the other thing that we see, and I really wish we could get a handle on this and help we do as much education as we possibly can, is fraud. So seeing an uptick in fraud where, somebody calls and says, hey, I mean, it's cold outside right now. If you thought the electric company was on the horn and they were going to shut off your electricity unless you sent them $500, you'd probably send them $500.
Yeah.
So we've seen things like that increase. And it's large amounts of money that these people are giving to these criminals that are operating not even in our country. They're overseas.
Yeah.
So really working to combat that and just educate people, we've seen those kinds of increases.
So that's an investigation sort of squad internally within?
It is, and unfortunately when we have those large frauds like that, like I said, most of the time the suspects are not even in this country.
Right.
So we have to work to educate, because once money leaves our country, even the FBI, Secret Service really can't get it back.
So how are you going to measure your success here in 2024 in terms of growing, in terms of officer hire? That's a softball question for you.
Right. Well, I mean, meeting our goals.
Yeah.
But here's a more important measure that I think it's not necessarily as tangible as like a hard in fact data. But what we're seeing across the country is these agencies, because everybody's hiring. Everybody is looking for people. The amount of people that are interested because of what the national rhetoric has done to my profession, to our profession, in terms of the villainization of the American police officer and the extra stressors that we're putting on our police officers are tremendous. So we don't see the volume of candidates that we used to see. And this is, like I said, across the board. And so a lot of agencies, not here regionally, but like across the country, are lowering their standards. And like, maybe we can overlook this part, or maybe we can reduce the number of push-ups that we're going to have you do, or maybe we'll reduce the number on the written test that we have you take. Or
it's a slippery slope.
Overlook,
In California, you can be illegal now and be an officer.
Exactly. And so give somebody a gun?
Right.
So we're not doing that. And so more than just the numbers is hiring people of high character and integrity. And what I tell them when they start out, I said, when you show up to somebody's house, the representation that you have wearing our badge, wearing our patch, means something to this community.
Right.
And
sure does.
They know that they can trust us, and they know that we have people, like I said, of that high character and integrity and professionalism that wear this uniform. And so we focus on not just the numbers, but quality of candidates across the board.
And our community really embraces first responders and everything. When you see these parades, I mean, you know, I think it's a little different when you get into the cities and stuff. You know, up here, we really respect you and we respect the fire. And you guys are in our parades and everybody's waving and clapping, you know, so you know, I think that's a huge deal to be living up here. And I think for the younger generation, too, to come up here, I mean, we really offer a lot.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people think the Valley, oh, we got all this other stuff, but really to raise a family, and I mean, like I tell everybody and we talk about this, the last of Mayberry, you didn't have Mayberry, I got it. You know, so whatever it was in your country.
Cadbury?
Yeah, Cadbury. There you go.
Now we're talking. We'll get to Bourneville any minute.
Cadbury's the best chocolate.
Yeah.
It is.
So good.
Candy store just down the road here. Uh-huh. You should go and see.
That's my daughter's store. She's the youngest entrepreneur in town. She has a candy store on this floor. So
really?
18 years old. She graduated Prescott High School, and she spent a year and a half working for the owners and purchased it cash with her own money.
Girl. Oh, is it Pralines?
No, it's the one right here on our third floor. It's Prescott Vintage Candy.
They've got
Mars bars in there.
And Necco's.
You've never had a Mars bar.
Do they have the violet crumbles?
I think they might have them. You should stop in there. Yeah, okay. She's got everything.
She's good for good her. Girl. That's really a good story.
You know, that's why I'm saying that the younger generation, I mean, there's, you know, being an entrepreneur, being a police officer. And I mean, it's, and the city's growing, so we're getting a lot of things that the big cities have now, but you still have, you know, the, you know, people respect you and you say hi to your neighbors and things like that. That's what I love. Yeah. That's why I moved up here.
We focus our recruiting efforts on that message, right? Like, come work in a place that supports you and, you know, encourages you, and we have that support across the board.
It really
is across the board.
Good. Yeah. So how many people are you going to hire this year?
Well, I'm hoping
In the pipeline?
I don't know who. I know, but our training and recruiting officer, his name is Sean, he is amazing, and he is just working, you know, 24/7 to get us the right folks. So hopefully 9. Wow. And then our budget season is coming up. I mean, we're in the middle of budget right now, so I'll be asking for some more because we need more. And, you know, really want to, like I said, grow our department to the point where we can manage these huge special events that we have. And so when we have somebody that gets sick or hurt, we have the bench strength to be able to fill in without taxing our people with overtime all the time. And
so for the bike race and stuff like that.
Yes, we have. And it's great. I mean, we appreciate that from an economic development perspective, but also from just the ability to showcase our beautiful city. But all of those events tax our resources across the board.
Well, I hope City Council gets it right, because they did their own survey, even though it was a small fraction of the community. Everything was about public safety. People don't mind paying even a little bit more in tax and all that stuff, long as it's going to the right causes like public safety, police officers, fire. And we heard that on the campaign trail everywhere we went. It was the number one thing, public safety.
Yeah, and that rings true. I mean, that's what we hear, too. And I know this community supports us, and it really is just a matter of funding. You know, funding would be my next priority, is how are we going to continue to fund these things?
Yeah, really.
You know,
really.
The technology that we have is awesome, but it's not cheap. No. You know, the body cameras that we have are a great tool.
The initial investment is very significant.
It's significant.
Both in training as well as the equipment, of course.
And it's the right thing to do, right? I mean, Ted Lasso said on an episode I watched the other night, the right thing to do is always, or what's the next? I forget how he said it, but it's always, the right time is always now to do the right thing or something. He said it much better than that, but
that was pretty good. Well done.
Thanks. Yeah, it's the right thing to do for our community, for our officers. But it's not cheap. And the pace at which technology is evolving is just mind-bending.
You have the same problem as the fire department. So if you order a fire truck, it takes 2 years. And
yes.
You have the same thing with patrol cars?
Yeah. So especially over the past, 3 to 4 years, the quote-unquote supply chain has tremendously impacted our ability. So we're just now getting vehicles that we ordered last fiscal year.
Right.
So, I mean, yes, it's taking
2 years.
Yeah. And then by the time we take them to get upfitted with the cages and the lights and the sirens and everything, that's another couple months.
Right.
So it.
Do you have any special insides of them versus other police forces? Or how do you determine how to fit them out?
Well, there's just standard equipment that goes in a car, right? Yeah. So you got to take out the...
I've never been in one.
By the way...
Have you?
Yes. And I'm going to tell you the story real quick. I was in... This happened last year. My wife wanted to kill me. I ran out of gas on the coming into town on the overpass on the turn. And you talk about being scared.
That
I almost
was
got
you?
Hit about yeah.
Okay.
And one of your two of your officers stopped, and I was so grateful. And one of the female officers, I got in the back of the car. Is not comfortable.
No,
it's hard plastic. But she brought me to the gas station. I got gas. I mean, you guys responded so quickly, and they were so nice. And I was having a hard time getting the gas, and the other officer, he's putting it in my car, and I'm like, this is like, you know, this is like VIP service here.
It was great,
but they were not comfortable, and they probably shouldn't be. And you can hose them out.
Yeah. Yeah, you learn real quickly the things that people do.
Dear.
So, yeah, so it's cages, and then you got like...
So how many police officers are on the street right now out there in Prescott for 48...
Man. Do criminals listen to this? I don't
know. Well, I'll tell you what, we can bleep this out.
Yeah, where's the cricket noise? No. So a typical squad is seven plus a sergeant.
Okay. Right.
And then today's Wednesday, so we've got, you know, our traffic safety guys are working, our parking enforcement guys are working, we've got some detectives that are detecting. And during the day there's many more resources available, but it's not enough. I mean,
if you looked at another 50,000 person city, how many police officers might they have on the streets and being very visible to the public?
Our closest comparison that I like to use is Oro Valley Police Department, which is down near Tucson. They're very similar community to us. They've got about an authorized strength of, I feel like 120, give or take. And we're at 86. So again, that's what I'm talking about, keeping pace with what we need.
Is crime that much worse as you go further south?
No, they're a very similar community to ours, but they have different resources that they offer. That, you know, for example, putting a school resource officer in every school.
Right.
So we do that, but we do it through a different mechanism. We off duty overtime. The schools pay, and we have two school resource officers. One at Prescott Junior High, Prescott Mile High. It's PJ when I went there, but Prescott Mile High, and one at Prescott High School that we do in partnership with Prescott Unified School District. You know, just different programs, and let me give you an example. I would love to have a special enforcement section, so just a group of people that went out and worked, you know, frauds that we see pop up on Facebook, or somebody says, hey, there's a problem at this intersection with this. We could go out and work those kind of one-offs and really quality of life issues that impact people, but right now we just don't have the resources to do that. So just expanding our services, but then, like I said, giving us the capacity for managing these large incidents or these special events that we have, and even just patrol. I ask when we do our Citizens Academy, I show everybody a map of Prescott, and we're broken up into a beat system.
Right.
And I'm like, well, you see that there's eight beats here, and I'm telling you, I have, you know, seven
people
so
on the beat.
So which beat do you live in? And they do such amazing work being shorthanded, and service really doesn't suffer to our community. And that's, I think, you know, people are like, oh, you're making do. Okay, making do.
By the way, that background sounds not for me. That's really happening.
Yeah.
Good timing.
Well scripted.
But you have the adjunct COP activity as well, which looks to have grown over the years.
I can remember
10 years ago maybe seeing one or two cars around. Seems like they're everywhere.
Yeah.
I have to look over my shoulder.
They're amazing.
Yeah.
I love our COPs, our volunteers. We have volunteers in almost every section of our police department, and our COPs are the most visible, but they're fantastic.
Right.
They're fantastic.
Amy, this has been great.
Yeah,
thank you so much.
Thanks
for coming
me.
In. Hopefully it wasn't too uncomfortable.
It was great.
Yeah?
Yeah, I appreciate
Damn it
very much.
We need a tougher couple of questions.
Yeah,
toughen it up a little bit.
And all the best with the department going forward.
And we
think you've got some great people there as well.
Yeah, I definitely
congrats
do.
For being Police Chief of the Year. That's incredible.
Oh, yeah.
So,
thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate that
thank
very
you.
Much.
Thanks, Amy.
Thanks.
Wow, Tony, what a good leader we had in here. Amy Bonney, Chief of Police and Chief of Police of the Year.
She is strategic, well-organized, clear-thinking, and very open to conversations. It was great to see.
You know, plus I think, you know, police are a clear priority for our community, and we must provide the necessary resources. You know, people need to let their representatives know, you know, public safety is number one, and we heard that on the campaign trail. We heard it on the recent survey that the city council had went over. over with everybody. So that's a necessity that we need.
Really a good point. So our city council, we need to give them marching orders in terms of they need to prioritize, and safety services such as police and fire need to be at the top of that list of prioritization. And we need to take the general fund and fund appropriately for these services, or we need to come up with alternative revenue channels.
Well, Amy Bonnie said we could sell cookies.
There you go. We won't do crowdfunding yet, but the key is really for council to make strategic decisions and to stick with them, not just paper over the cracks. Let's hope we can get there.
You've been listening to Eye on Prescott. We adore living here, and we want to be your voice to ask the tough questions, hold officials accountable, and you'll never hear us running from a debate. We hope you've enjoyed the show. If you did, make sure to like, rate, and review. We'll be back soon on Eye on Prescott.